My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I know we have a Christmas theme going this morning, but before I move into the Christmas theme, I want to talk birthday for a minute. So like I said, it's Kylie Michelle's 14th birthday today. Kind of unbelievable to me that she's 14 years old, that I have been a mom for 14 years, and I have just loved seeing the young woman that she is growing into, and wanted to rightly celebrate her birthday, and Maddie's on Wednesday, and so yesterday I had planned to have a socially distant birthday party in the backyard with just my kids and my parents and my brother and my niece and my nephew, so less than 10 of us. And I have been working for like 3 weeks on this project, in part to be a birthday present for the kids, in part of making sure it was done for yesterday for the birthday party, and then also be a ministry opportunity for the church. How does that all roll into one? I've been working in the backyard to make a fire pit and these really cool benches around it that have succulents on the end, and so they bring green and beauty, and I built light poles that are in flower pots that I'm hanging Christmas lights on to bring lights, and an old playset that we had that we tore apart because it wasn't structurally sound anymore. I have been working at building into this cool book nook for the kids that has two platform levels and a climbing wall to get up to it. Trustees, nothing is permanent. Everything's movable. I haven't done anything to harm the backyard, but I've been working on making a really neat space to sit and to hang out, to be able to gather and worship and sing around the fire pit, for the kids to have a place that they could just relax and read. And Maddie's already brought pillows and blankets out there to be able to sit. And I was so excited. And Thursday and Friday and any little bit of spare time, I have been working on this, sanding and staining and lifting cinder blocks and painting cinder blocks and working so incredibly hard. It means none of my laundry has been done in 3 weeks. My house hasn't been cleaned in 3 weeks. Nothing else has been done in 3 weeks except ministry, pastoring, and working on this backyard. Sweat, blood, tears, and bruises to prove it. So here Friday, I've finally gotten to the point of feeling finished with the backyard. I'm so excited and so proud, and my family's been watching the progress through pictures, and they were so excited to get there. And then Friday afternoon, right about the time that I'm calling it quits, I'm hearing Captain, my dog, just going crazy in the backyard, barking at something. And I'm like, what in the world is going on out there? And then all of a sudden, I smell it. I know what he's found in the backyard. What has Captain found? But in the area we call the jungle, he's found a skunk. And not only has he found the skunk, but he's gotten sprayed by the skunk. Oh, great. So I get Captain inside and I lock him in his cage so I can go to the store and get supplies, and I wash him 3 times over, y'all. Wash him with the ingredients that they tell me to, and wash him with this bath stuff, and wash him again with the stuff that they say. Oh, and I've got him dry, and this is like an hour and a half later, and all of a sudden he wiggles out of his towel, and I'd had the door open because amazingly it smelled better outside than inside at this point. So I've got the back door open so that fresh air can hopefully push that skunk smell out, and Captain weasels out, and what does he do? Beelines right for that corner, and I hear him barking, and then I smell it. He didn't scare the skunk away, but the skunk got him again. Again, I go back to the store. Again, we go through the whole washing process. Again, any stink that came out of the house was now back in the house, and I realize the skunk is not going anywhere. I also realize, as I try calling, animal control is only open till Thursday afternoon and doesn't open back up till Monday morning. So what do I realize? On Friday night, the night before celebrating my baby's birthdays, the night before getting to have my family in my newly done backyard that I've been working so hard on, that there's a skunk that's taken up residence, and any people or dogs in the backyard is not gonna happen this week. My heart sank. Hear all this that I'd put in, hear all this that was ready. We even had the s'more supplies together to have our first little fire to be able to roast them, and the kids were so excited. And to me, the whole thing was ruined. Wasn't this what the Grinch was trying to do to Christmas? He was trying to be that skunk, right? A stinky, grouchy little man that was attempting to steal the joy of Christmas, to sink the Whoville people's hearts into thinking that they couldn't celebrate, that everything was ruined, and that Christmas would be called off. That was the Grinch's intention. That was the Grinch's point. Here, if we go to the Bible, we see those that thought that they were doing the same thing, right? They arrested Jesus, they put him on trial, they hung him on a cross, and they thought that they had ruined the work that they were doing. They thought that if they took out Jesus, they thought that if they cut off the head of the snake of this Christian movement, that they would take care of it, it would be done, and life could go back to normal. Pharisees, Sadducees, Roman Empire in control, right? But guess what? It didn't happen. What did we get? We got Easter. We got the miracle of resurrection. And Jesus laughed at all of those who thought that they had ruined things, laughed at all of those who thought they knew better, laughed at all of those that thought that they could steal the joy of this incredible community that Jesus was building. Well, on this day, what do we have but the completion of that story, the final chapter of Jesus' time on this earth? You see, he resurrected on Easter, and then Jesus had 50 days that he was with the disciples, 50 days of last instructions, 50 days of preparing them to take over. And here in the first chapter of Acts, what do we have but Jesus ascending? He gives the last words to his disciples. He says, "If it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Take that, earth, right? He says, it's your turn. And the Holy Spirit's gonna come, and the Holy Spirit's gonna give you power, and you don't know the when, and you don't know the how, but it's going to happen. And that promise of the Holy Spirit is how Jesus gives his goodbye. That's his final bow after his encore performance, right? And here he's ascending up into heaven, and what are the disciples doing? Just watching. There he goes, right? We can find ourselves in that moment when it seems like something ends, when we don't know what we're doing now, and we just kind of are looking, okay, Lord, now what? The Grinch has stolen all our presents. Now what? There's a skunk in the backyard. Now what? The world seems closed, and we can't go anywhere, and there's all this fear and disappointment. Now what? I've lost what I love. Now what? Here they are in that now what? What happens after the ascension? What happens after Jesus lives? Jesus ascends. What happens, my friends, is that Jesus ascends and the church comes alive. Because what do we know when we see the complete story? Is that we see Jesus dying, Jesus resurrecting, Jesus ascending, Jesus not being there doesn't hinder the movement at all. You want proof? Let's look at the Grinch. What happens when the Grinch steals all the presents? What happens when the Grinch steals the tree? What happens when the Grinch takes everything tangible and physical that represents Christmas, thinking it is gonna steal all of the joy and the spirit of the day, but he wakes up and he sees the people still rejoicing, still singing, still celebrating, because Christmas wasn't about the stuff. What does this Grinch say? But as he's looking at this and realizing, he says, maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more than the presents and the stuff and the things. He realizes maybe he missed the point of what was going on. Maybe he missed the point of what the purpose of Christmas was. I look at the situation now. I have video in front of me, and the crooked stole is driving me nuts, y'all. But the point is not the stole, right? The point is what it means. And I thought, well, the Grinch here is saying, maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And my statement today is maybe being the church perhaps means a little bit more. Because we have to admit, there's some people in this situation that rejoiced when they saw the doors of the church close, when they saw that worship couldn't happen, when they saw that people couldn't gather for Bible study. I guarantee you there are people out there that thought that this was gonna close churches permanently, that this was gonna weaken the church, that this was gonna weaken who we are, what we do, and how we threaten their comfort and security that they feel doesn't agree with ours. But my friends, though the doors may be locked, though the doors may be closed, there is not one moment when the church has been closed. There's not been one moment when our ministry has been hindered. Why? Because we have persisted. That's what we do, right? Look at what Jesus did all through the Bible. He persisted no matter the challenges he faced. Look at the church at Pentecost. Look at the church after Jesus. No matter the persecutions, no matter the threats, no matter the struggles they face, the church persisted. And we today still persist. Makes me think of John Wesley, the great founder of the United Methodist Church. When he was raising up a spiritual revolution, challenging the church and the way that it was reaching people, challenging the church and feeling that it was not spiritually feeding, guiding people in the way that God wanted, John Wesley stood up and began to speak. He began to speak about an obedience and a faith that went not just skin deep, but heart deep, with a devotion to God like people had never seen. And it upset the leadership of the church. It upset them to hear the challenge. It upset them to hear the criticism. And what did they do? John Wesley, that was an ordained Anglican preacher, they said, John Wesley, we don't like your message. You are no longer welcomed in our doors or in our pulpits to preach. And they thought they had stopped him. But surprise, John Wesley persisted. What did he do? He said, you won't let me preach in a pulpit? Then I will preach outside. What did he own? He owned the plot of land where his father, the Reverend Samuel Wesley, was buried. He said, I own this piece of land and you cannot kick me off it. And so he stood on his father's grave and he preached to the people. He preached at the mouth of the mine shafts. He preached outside the bars. He preached in the parks. He preached in the streets. He preached wherever people would gather. Why? Because he realized what we are witnessing right now, that the church is not about four walls, a set of pews, an organ, and a place to eat. The church was not a physical place, but the church was a mission, a ministry, a movement, and the people involved in it. And we are seeing that right now. We can't come in the building, we'll go online. We can't come to the altar to receive communion, we'll drive up and we'll get it to go. We can't let people in to eat for outreach lunch. We'll pack it into go boxes. We can't sit in the friendship room to have Bible study. We'll learn Zoom. Boy, I've been so proud of people who have persisted to figure out how to do Zoom week after week. But they go through the hurdles. They go through the struggles and persist because it's important to be together as the church. It's important to be in the scriptures together. It's important to be in prayer for one another. Our tech team back there, those are some of the most incredible people I have ever met. We have run into every technological issue I believe that we can face, and they have sat back there and they have persisted. Why? Because the church is the church, and they are going to make sure that the church gets out into the world with the message that Christ has to bring. And they have spent hours back there fiddling with cords on the computer, figuring out whatever it takes to do the work that they and we are called to do. My friends, we are essential. But the essential nature of who we are is not in these buildings, it's outside of them. And so today, what do I ask you to do? To not be the disciples looking up, waiting for the doors to open back up, waiting for us to be in person. Because we are not in a place of waiting. We are in a place of working. We are in a place of living. We are in a place of witnessing. We are in a place of being the church now more than ever. Now more than ever, showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Did I get all nine? She didn't count. That's what we're called to be. Not a building, not a physical place, but a people in motion who are influencing the community and being the witness of Christ, to live the gospel of unconditional love and undeserved grace, to be the people that show extreme patience, to the people who say, I will not be bullied and I will not be pushed. I will do as my Lord asks me to do. You can mock me, you can tease me, but I will not back down from what I know is right. My friends, I know that there is word from above, not that above, that says that the church is essential and the doors should open back up. But we are not ready. The first rule of John Wesley is do no harm. And this place is a place of sanctuary. This place is a place of safety. This place is a place of love and community. And we will not open those doors up until the best of our ability we can ensure that we will do no harm in these walls, that we can fully protect the people that we come in, that we will not put health or lives at risk, that we will not do harm. And when we are ready, we will gather and we will celebrate, and it will be a great day of rejoicing. But we are reminded that the church is still the church. So let us gather our hearts, our minds, our spirit, our faith, and especially our hope and joy in the Lord, and live with those, because we are who we are, and there is nothing of this world, no Grinch, no skunk, and no authority that does not come from heaven that can ruin our joy. My friends, I tell you, there may have been a skunk in the backyard, so we moved the party to the driveway. The church moved from the pews to online, but we are no less the church. We are no less Christ's disciples. We are no less the presence of God here on this earth, mobilized for action, mobilized to love, mobilized to be who Christ blessed us to be. So my friends, will you pray with me as we go from the place where we are to the place that we are called to be, the place of discipleship? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks, for you are a God who has put a spirit of persistence in us. You are a God that has shown over and over and over again that with you, nothing is impossible, that with you, no door can be shut without a window opened, that with you, your Holy Spirit and your holy presence will not be quenched, but that when people try to put it out, that three more erupt. We ask that you be a God who helps us prepare this week for Pentecost, to help us prepare to celebrate not only the birth of the church, but the life of the church that will not be hindered, will not be harmed, will not be quenched, will not be stopped, but can only get stronger. Help us to see our part in that. Help us to see that what we are doing is persisting, that what we are doing is enduring, that what we are doing is being your children who have a full faith in you and your ability to change us, evolve us, and to make us stronger. For all of this, Lord, we give thanks in your name and ask your blessing upon all that we do. For this we pray. Amen.